business is the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and at, right at the end of the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll have a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First of all, we will have our planning director comments.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. And our first order of business in our work session is the assigned order discussion.
Mr. Chairman, we've been discussing this off and on for several months. Discussion with Mr. Smith, because you guys have looked out for the business community, you have a representative of the business community coming for you guys.
Chair, members of the commission, thanks for your time tonight. We've been talking about this the last few months. I guess leading up to the initial discussion, in May last year, we had a business forum and we got some feedback regarding the sign ordinance itself. Most of that was just not being aware or truly informed of the barriers.
Similar feedback to that we have on the previous version.
It is kind of difficult to read if you're just looking at it, especially if you're a new business owner, if you're trying to get your company up and started. So that kind of just started the discussion of how we can make, Mr. Stewart asked to talk about how we can make the ordinance itself more flexible. And we really wanted to be proactive and get ahead of the game, so to speak, so we could not have any hiccups once we start seeing. Of design specifically, the last thing we want to do is be in front of you all trying to get the items changed in order to be Home Depot and those type of things. So we can talk about this. Before I forget, Mac from Max Auto is here as well. He can answer some of the business related questions. And he actually has a project that he hasn't filled out the application, but based on what we've been talking about the last few weeks, his sign wouldn't be approved because it doesn't meet our signage ordinance. We have to be able to double the square feet, square footage. And after talking to Mr. Stewart and getting some feedback from some of the other planners that have done some more research, I think we could come up with something. We just need to get you all's feedback as far as questions.
Okay, the first item up there talks about banners and flags is crazy. And I don't mind using that type of thing. I just noticed one business has three of them right in a row, three banner signs right in a row. The only thing I see is a lot of them, what I'm seeing is they're faded, ripped, and so forth like that. So I think if we makes it a little more flexible. I don't really mind that, but we need to have some type of thing where
to make it more presentable.
Some of the counties allow green buildings, those types of signs in a more flexible fashion than they were earlier. They have time limits and approach to it where they have a little limit for my time. So I agree with you, are the signs would be very slow in the interior.
But I think down at the, when they had the farmer's market down at Pleasant Grove, they put out a banner sign there, but they take it down and they put it back up. But there's a lot of places it stays there night and day, and when I come by, they've gotten real faded and ragged looking.
After a little more investigation, Mr. Stewart and I were talking about that, some kind of questions. But there's a gray area, it's not very specific, but in the ordinance, how it was explained was you can have a feather flag like a farmer's market up to no more than 60 days throughout the year. At 30 days, we change it. Correct?
I believe that I'd have to take a look at the ordinance against this in my state. So okay. I believe that's kind of what we discussed.
So, and then from, you know, our team did a lot more research than I did. But from our discussion, it seems like in relation to movies and some of the other competitors, that makes sense. There's nothing wrong with that time limit. Mr. Stewart mentioned something about the 30-day special use permit, as you call that. Hanover County has implemented a business-friendly grand opening or special sale application, a 30, 40 plus. And just like any other application that you present the plans on, but that permits you to have yard signs or an additional yard sign or another 10-foot flag sign up for a special sale, you know, marketing trim for the month of December, whatever. So we were trying to come up with different ways.
I mean, I think a lot of our businesses, correct me if I'm wrong, they seem to have an issue getting the word out that they exist. They want to let them build the signage when they initially start. It's very helpful to get the word out in the community.
Well, as I remember, you were talking about the 60-day thing and so forth like that. Back when we overhauled the sign ordinance along with the business community, that particular banner thing, we put that 60-day type thing in there because there was a lot of places at that time, like, for instance, they want certain store of the year, and some of those banners were staying up in front of the store for a long, long time, and they started fading and stuff like that. So I think that was one of the reasons we put that 60, yeah, as well as I remember.
Well, I appreciate you mentioning that because as far as presentation, I'm not sure if we should write something that into the ordinance, but we don't. That's the last thing that we want, is if we're showing off to our community to a potential commercial business, that's the last thing we need, is, you know, a nice feather flag and additional feathers.
What about, there's also the concern that the existing signage ordinance doesn't allow for adequate signage. And I know, I assume all of us got an email from Mr.
Dunley, Federal Dunley.
Yeah. You know, talking about as more businesses move in there where your establishment is in that area there. There's already not enough room on the sign.
One of the things we talked about was maybe a special overlay target for their growth area across the road, over Indian Sea, more growth and more types of businesses that potentially would need more square footage.
We talked about the fact that the speed limit through there is 55 miles an hour, probably needed signs that were larger and so forth like that. Okay. When you get into a business park or something like that, the first few businesses that come up and get these nice looking signs, but as that business are added on, so there's we need to try to figure out a way to and if it's more than one entrance, maybe you need to put the signing where for the certain ones where it basically goes to those or something like that. So I think sometimes we've got it so that they can only have one monument type sign. Mm-hmm. It may be possible that certain places we might need to.
Now, I wonder if the best way to, you know, we talked a lot about this, as you said, we talked about this, we've seen the comparisons of our ordinances with the ordinances down the mall, Hoochland, sort of our competitive counties. And those aren't always easy to compare apples to apples. They're kind of difficult. I wonder if the way to move forward on something like this is for the business community, probably with your guidance, your leadership, or whatever, presents, here's what we think we need for sign ordinances, whether it involves overlay districts, whether it involves countywide, because I certainly am not in a position to say, hey, I know what the business needs. I don't. But, you know, if they come back with, we need, you know, 500 square foot fine, a sign is allowed every place, we're probably not going to approve that, but I don't think they will. And I have faith that most of these folks would make a reasonable compromise between being able to come promote their business and the beauty of the community, and then we could have something better to discuss than us trying to figure this out ourselves, because I'm not in a position to make that.
We can get a survey out, that's just gonna prolong.
I mean, a survey, I'm not really talking about a survey, I'm talking about, is there a way that you or the business community can come with a proposal? This is what we need.
Maybe you need to present it to the planning department first, and let them compare some stuff like that too, you know. We believe in signing, and we need, other businesses need signing, but we also, this is my favorite line, we don't want to be Florence, South Carolina.
But we don't, you know, but we want to be competitive and not have undue restrictions that puts us at a competitive disadvantage with the weeds and then have them on. Like I said, I don't know if the planning department folks know what the business community needs, but they would be a great first step to say, okay, you guys can compare well, this is how comparable this is.
How does the next meeting sound if we come to you all tomorrow?
Fine with us, if it's okay, and I don't know what we have on the agenda for our work session in March.
It's included open right now.
So that would be fine with us. You know, the thing is, like I said, and I think Mr. Payne was the one that suggested this, that some of the places where the speed limit is higher, we maybe need larger signs because of the fact of it may be for even the safety features. For the fact that people will be able to read them when they're driving down the road 55 miles an hour.
Yeah, we can do that.
But like I said, when we did decide on what we have now, we worked extensively with the business community, and we took all their suggestions and so forth like that. So.
We will make sure we'll get the chamber of some of those two leader businesses. While I've got Mac here, I invited him out as well. I don't know if you want to talk to the commission about your concerns and your needs. Sure, talk now. How much you want to hear that?
Awesome. Thanks for being here. Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Mac Amanis, Max Allison. Phil, with a nice, bright, cheerful mood this evening. I've got a little story for you. As a business owner, when I first came to Atlantic County, we arrived May 1st, 2013, and we had a grand opening around a bunch of the banner flags, and we put them on the entrance of the industrial park. Startup park, the entrance there, and they had a nice looking one that I direct people back to our business. That was when we opened at 7 a.m. Went to the Troy Deli for lunch. And before I could get back to my shop, I got a phone call from the service manager that I had a violation laying on my desk with a picture of the banners with a note that I didn't pull them down on it. I said, welcome to the Atlantic County. The reason I mention this is because I own another business, a couple other businesses, but in Hanover County, I own businesses in Fredericksburg, Stafford counties as well, and Carroll. And what I've experienced is, you're right, there's two different scenarios. New business coming in where consumers need to be made aware that business exists. Temporary, it's ideal, that's what I experienced in the localities. A temporary sign says, you know, 60 days or whatever, there's your brand opening. That's one small aspect of it. But the other, and I think that's kind of nail on the head. Driving down the road, if somebody's got a little sign out there, if somebody's actually trying to read that sign, it is a little bit of a distraction. It's like a small sign. Two is, well, business owners trying to grow our business. And if we can grow our business, obviously we won't pay more taxes and help the family. We have a plan, and hopefully we can work this out, to put a digital menu board in place of the Fort Bend County sign that's out there now. Our intentions are to have a digital menu board out there, so one, all our business, but two, it'd be a nice color display to Van County, would be illustrated on there as well. We don't necessarily want to do away with the Fort Bend County, we're proud to be with Van County, and you guys seem to be working well with us. We just would like to bring it to moving our technology, which is, there's things we can do with that, that's what we're announcing, community events, but having sales for our business, or other businesses that bring in the industrial park. But we just want you to open your eyes to the possibility of expanding to the century. The technology's there, a lot of places are using it, it's really nice looking, whether it's Spring Creek, we let people know what that around doing, coming out of Walmart, it's really insane. But we're not looking for anything that large, but we are looking for something that to let people know that their business is back in the industrial park. We didn't want to do it later, but I just really wanted to let you guys know what our plans are, moving forward, and to see if we can work together to make this a possibility.
I think we do allow digital signs to a certain extent, because we have that done. And they have to, you have to have a break, they can only last a certain time, then you have to have a break, or something like that. So we do have one, the only one in the county that I know of is at the school, and so forth like that. So the one thing about the signs when you had your grand opening, I don't have any problem with anybody having signs when it's a brand new business and it's going to be a grand opening. But I do see some of these things, these signs that constantly come up going out from business. Well, I think people say it's going out of business, but it says going out from business. And they repeat the same thing over and over again. But I also think it's like that maybe you should have thought a little bit about going to the county and finding what the sign ordinance was at that time also. You know, I used to put signs out at a business in Charlottesville, but I'd have to go to the city and find out what I could do before I did.
On that note, I've never experienced where any of those localities that grant openings on. The one thing that they were out for, that extended period of time, another rally open, but the day that it's open, usually you have a sign out there. So, no, I obviously, the business owner, I didn't think about a grand opening, and it was a permanent sign or something that would want to ask for a permit. It would have been a hesitation to call the county and talk to them. But usually a grand opening is a temporary thing. Yeah, we've done in the past.
I don't have any problem with that, but you know, sometimes we've got.
Well, it's open now. I was just trying to say for a business owner.
This predated my tenure, but over half a year, but just note that our code of conduct off service only complaint driven. So you see the complaint and investigate. Otherwise, it's not actively seeking out or anything. So,
but still, that's an indication. Here's a guy who's got businesses at the bank, done this before. That's an indicator that he comes here and doesn't even think that this isn't something I should ask about because I've done it everywhere. It's an indication that we're a little bit outside the norm, and maybe we need to look at that because, you know, I'm sure you've done this before, never had a problem with others, and we were down. Or maybe you did break the law, but nobody complained, so you didn't know it in the other places. But still, it sounds like
the bad part about it was probably one of your competitors that complained.
His establishment is a good example where, you know, you need ongoing signage. Because I know where your business is because we take our cars there. And people are not going to stumble upon you driving around because you're inside this industrial park. Unless I'm going to a business there, got no reason to go. I drive down 15. I'm not really going to see you except for the sign. So they have an ongoing need to be able to advertise that we're here.
small sign that's there is not adequate for what's back there now, so we don't let that go forward.
And I was only speaking of my experience. I had no idea what other business owners had experienced coming in through the downtown. Guys are much easier to work with than my first impression. I started immediately I took the signs down. But the other business owners, I mean, the reason that in the time was before I mentioned this is just to get you aware of what business owners other ones. You know, they make a substantial investment in coming to the county to start a business, and if you can't hit the ground running, then it makes it quite tough on the business. And that's the only reason I mentioned that.
Maybe we should probably put in the ordinance some type of sign for grand openings or permitted. But we have to, you know, the thing is, how would they know exactly what was permitted unless they asked? So that's my question there.
And appropriate, we'll have that to certain workers and certain procedures type of calls. Like, hey, we'll allow you to these signs up here for 10 days unless, until you register and sign with pay the permit fee. $4 or whatever it may be, and you have it off for 30 days. Something along them, not with a warning that you'll be fine to take it out of the agent. And that was just, that's how it should be approached.
Ideally, it should happen in the cycling process, is one of the things that we talk to the business owner about.
Well, usually when we have the SUP recycling, we have it in that, and y'all discussed it about what's allowed.
And that was just a pretty harsh example, but my bringing it to your attention is because, yes, it did in fact happen, and two, really it should have been somebody from the county coming up and saying, hey, welcome to the county. You know, we do have rules, and this is how it looks, and we'd like to work with you to fill out this permit and keep the signs up for X number of days. And it's just a suggestion. For businesses that have come today, we are actively trying to grow our business as well as start another business or two right there in the Delta Park and working with the county closely. Of course, Jason and Bobby Popowitz were very helpful in guiding us putting us in the right direction. But this forum tonight is just basically bringing the attention that we hope to accomplish.
I think that, you'll find out that we like to work with the business community. We're in favor of businesses coming through now. And we did, when we did our sign ordinances, worked with the business community for months and months, probably over a year. And so that's how we actually came up with our sign ordinances. So we've got to have a balance.
When was that? How long was that?
2011, 2010.
About 6 years ago, I think. 5 or 6 years ago.
We did arrive in May 1st, 2013.
Yeah. So, you know, we like to work with businesses and we like to know what they're looking for, but we do have to have a balance.
No, I
didn't. Matter of fact, I was riding back from home from down this way the other week, and there had been this big plastic sign up on these two posts. So I'm driving ahead, seen it for a while. Then I had to kind of look over there, and I saw the back side of the white plastic balled up in the ball up under the trees and stuff like that. So that's some of the stuff that we've seen too.
Yeah, those are your banners are shoved in the ground there for ages to try to promote something. Where I believe, like I said, it was the sign ordinance was a little more forgiving. That somebody could put it in front of the sign out and see that sort of thing. So we would like to do the thing with the corner down there around the Starlight Parkway and 15 with that digital interview. We have other businesses that are driving that. And it's nice looking to be in.
I think maybe you could work with Mr. Stewart to look to see what you have in mind, whether that would comply with our present ordinance, or if there's changes that we may need to make, and then Mr. Stewart will probably bring it to us to...
I believe the issue is the size and the height of the stuff that they have. Similar issues were discussed here. Louisa's height is 20 feet, we're 6 feet.
But we really need, if you want to do this comprehensive, do this hopefully one time for the next 10 or 15 years, I really return back to my original point of the business community, led by Jason, who's kind of our county representative to this, to come up with some kind of proposal that they feel is appropriate, balancing all these different concerns, that the planning department could really have, and with the planning commission. That seems like a great step in this process.
And I'm not gonna say it's gonna make a break deal, but if we can be proactive and create less headache, one less hoop to jump through from our standpoint, that's even better for business owners to get more people in here. So, but back to Max's proposal, what design would you like if it needs about half the square foot or double the square foot? We'll come back in March.
Well, we noticed that very much when we were comparing, but we've done the comparing with several different counties, more than what's up there now, and we noticed the difference between that 6 and 8 foot and the 20 foot that's allowed in Louisa. So we were actually discussing that at one of our meetings, that there was a great big discrepancy. Okay.
Jeff, let me make two observations. I don't know if it'd be the direct language, but first of all, I've been dealing with sign ordinances for well over 40 years. And one thing I would guarantee you, write this down, is that you're never going to come to anything like a consensus.
Oh.
So you may have 20 businessmen, they all agree, the 21st is going to disagree. And the other interest groups, churches, just individuals, whatever it might be, you're never going to come to a consensus. So getting all this input is a good idea, and it may be a lot of good ideas that come to you and you may accept it, but just don't expect it to come in. It's something that you can say, oh, everybody agrees on this, and we'll approve. In line with that also, anything you adopt is going to be to some extent arbitrary. Whether it's an 8 foot height or 14 foot height or 20 foot height, you need to be able to, in your own mind at least, articulate why you're going to that number, or that size or whatever it might be. If you can articulate a reason for it in your own mind, it's probably the best. The third thing is, and you've heard me say this before, but you cannot regulate a sign on the basis of its content. And so you cannot say, we're going to have one sign for mom and pop's ice cream and another one for the Baskin Robbins. Or you can't say, I was thinking of Grand Opening. You can't say grand opening is okay, but big shoe sale is not. Because then you're regulated according to content. So there are some limitations on what you can do. And there's a lot of stuff you can do, and I don't have any particular feeling on it, but there have been through this so many times that I know all the arguments pro and con of all this stuff. The big thing is make sure you have, in your own mind, a rational basis for what you decide, whatever it is. And then there's some of this arbitrary stuff like, you know, the famous decision that I told you about years ago about the Supreme Court in New Mexico. That was the one where Justice Kagan said in a dissenting opinion that we have just invalidated every zoning ordinance in the county, in the country. She wasn't quite literally right, but she was pretty darn close.
We can, like, for instance, like we have, like, certain areas of county that we can have different types, right?
You can distinguish by.
Like a business.
Zoning districts and things like that. Yes, you can do that. And you can set size limits and height limits and things like that, as long as you're rational basis. But you can't say, well, let's put up signs as Edith Joe's and it's a certain height and a certain size, but you can't put up, Women's Committee, headquarters. That's different. You can't base it on the content itself.
Do you have something else to say?
I'm good to go. We got our marching orders. We'll be back in a month.
Okay. Like I said, I think, you know, we're going to have to work on this and probably balance it out. And like we've talked about, maybe larger sizes in certain areas of the county that we've designated growth areas and so forth like that. So.
Appreciate the discussion of the work with our community partners like Mac and the other business owners. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
If we are finished with the sign order discussion, I reckon we could go on over to the Columbia zoning discussion.
I'm going to pass you all out a handout, which is the same as what you'll see on the screen.
Okay, thank you.
This is very preliminary. Planning staff is trying to kick off the process of assigning zoning to the Columbia area. As you all probably know, that area was dissolved back into Louisiana County last July. So on the screen, you see a sample questionnaire that staff has put together. I believe my colleague, Mr. Newman, had some involvement with that. It's a questionnaire that would be sent to the residents in the area to get input on what type of zoning they would like to see in the area. So this is a draft questionnaire that we would like to get feedback from the commission on. You know, it's here to go if you want to tweak your ad, any language whatsoever.
We have had contact with one business owner down here. He's expressing interest in coming to the commission to discuss this.
I sent them a message that I thought that the questionnaire would be good. So are we planning on sending them out soon, or did anybody else have any objections with this questionnaire, or did it think we're good? Or?
We welcome your feedback if you have any additional comments on anything to be added or whatever. I do thank Mr. Newman for working on this.
So what we would like to do is send a survey out to the owners and residents of the former town, property owners, and hopefully get said business owner and possibly other interested parties to come.
Are you going to send out the map showing the proposed zoning with that, or just the questionnaire? Or they're going to see that on later time?
That's so preliminary.
Okay.
You probably would send something showing what the alleged zoning of Columbia was. But most people know, at least the owners know what the property was under.
Well, most everything down there is residential. They've got a couple of businesses in it.
Most of the
I would say dealing with people, the average person doesn't know what the property is on. They don't even know what the zoning is.
Well, the, most of the property along the corridor is in like three or four parties. And they do know what the property seem to know what the property is on. The people, the residences, people that live there probably don't know.
Probably. One thing you might want to do to tweak this is, you know what your current property is currently zoned? Yes, I know what it is, the fund zone. And I think what we're really talking about is what wasn't zoned, not half. Because the town did have zoning ones at one time, but when we tried to find it, I actually had a copy of it one time, but it went away somewhere. No, it's me. So I think you might want to tweak that language.
And I think it would be a good idea to send out a map a little bit of the actual zone with the open place on the street to get a feel of it.
You have to be a real clear explanation of what that map was.
Yeah.
A proposal is what our recollection of the zoning is or whatever.
Somewhere we have a map. We did have,
I believe we do have something on the roll.
Yeah, exactly.
What has happened with back in May, the county was talking about working with that FEMA grant and so forth, like they were before dilapidated properties. Where is that?
The FEMA grant was approved for, I think it's about $190,000. The phase we're in now is we've finished up the preliminary reviews, we've finished up the appraisals, the formal appraisals, and we're formulating the offers to make to the landowners. The landowners involved, three actual property owners, there's four different properties, there's five different parcels, three different owners. We have been in touch with all three of them, met with them, and they, in advance, agreed to us to be able to be on the property to do those appraisals. So sometime in the next couple weeks, we'll be making formal offers to the property owners. If they agree to the offers, then we'll proceed with the purchase, and then proceed with the invitation for bids to contract to have the structures demolished. If they do not agree with the appraisals and the prices, they can have their own appraisal done. Compared to the professional price that we've already had done all the week, we've used one of the recommended prices on the first one. And if it comes to an impasse where we can't agree on price, I don't know what will happen because we can't see the amount of money that's authorized by the government to do this purchase.
It's like $150,000 from FEMA, $40,000 from the Jefferson Planning Commission, $10,000 from Sudan County.
It's about that, yes, about 30%. There's some from the state, not from Thomas Jefferson Planning Commission, but some from the state, some from the county, and some from the large portion of the federal. Thomas Jefferson Planning Commission is the lead on this, but the county obviously has a vested interest in it, and we're just based on them on all the steps.
Are all those properties in the flood zone?
Yes.
So the buildings would be torn down, not buildings put back.
Correct. The only way buildings could be put back is if someone wanted to do a build there, they would have to build to the floodplain standards. Or if you go send a renovation, then the facilities
has to be renovated.
A lot of those, you can't do it. The other thing, though, that I don't know if Mr. Nichols has thought about this, but you have authority to move those buildings if we determine that the board supervisors determine that a hazard. I can't remember what the steps, but as I said,
we will certainly have that in mind when we have that discussion.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's, you know, the problem with these things is they can't be repaired because nobody will lend money. So that's why nobody's ever gone in
for it. And even if they were repaired and they didn't need the money from a lending source, they could just bankroll themselves. They would have to have building permits to be able to do that. And the permits would have to be the total standard for the public on the stage.
You know,
and the project is supposed to be done by September, but you know, we're getting pretty close to September. I'm just not sure if the construction timeline or the construction timeline. going to leave that, but I'm sure we're going to work with the federal government on as long as it requires.
I had a client to take it down one day.
And they can go down fast, but I expect our little bugger will be a lot, maybe lots of interest from the historical site folks. And I've already had multiple calls from the historic building reclaimers, people that want to go and salvage the wood for reuse and things like that. I doubt that after all these decades, there's much left in the buildings that have been stripped out that is worthwhile.
That's very likely, although I was going to wonder very specifically in Columbia that it was the old hotel, and it was unique because it was made of cut sandstone. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful building, but the owner didn't want it anymore, and he auctioned it off and sold it. And it was torn down, but in that case, the materials, unlike what Mr. Nichols is talking about, were so durable, torn down and moved them. And I think they now constitute a stable in Nelson County. And so, you know, you might go into something like that, or plumbing fixtures, or you know, anything like that.
But that's not going to be, for these properties, not going to be the old hotel. These properties, that's not going to be very much money. And if we allow that to hold us up, that would be necessary. We should move forward.
Well,
give a brief time window to go ahead and establish something.
I think this is a quick 1 week interlude, and that's it. I mean, we're not going to, because we've got federal deadlines, we're not going to be interested in letting this be a 6 month project to just going to take a look at the building and every cooking man there. So that's the current update.
What do you think the likelihood and what way that Columbia can be revitalized? I know you made a statement about there's a thousand things we could do, but we have to start somewhere. But, I go through that and I look at these buildings and I look at the ravaging that have done from the floods and so forth like that. Some of the things that friends tell me that's going on in this thing, and of course, tearing down some of these buildings may do away with some of the stuff that some of these people are probably using some of these buildings for. So.
Yeah, in my opinion, the number one thing that needs to happen in the town of Columbia, the area called Columbia now, is light removal. And so this is a significant and massive step forward compared to what's happened in the last 50 years. And so just removing some of that light along the highway, I think will open some floodgates. There are old vehicles there that we want to get rid of. Because the county has oversight now, and because we have the opportunity to at least get that four lighted buildings, the dramatic change in look along that highway will be a significant step forward. And if nothing ever happened with that, I would thank you. But we're not going to see probably anything beyond what there is now unless something changes, and that's a significant change in the world of life.
Yeah, you too much in the baseball records. I think the answer to your question is the building is going to come. And the question is, what could happen here to trigger people redeveloping the old town? And there was some significant emphasis to the town. Its location was the reason for its being. We've nourished it for 100 years. The problem is its location, no one is more close to anything. It's too far to be a suburb of Richmond or a suburb of Charlottesville. And there's no obvious draw to it. You don't have the canals anymore. You don't have the railroad junction anymore. So I'm not telling you I know that I don't.
There's obvious avoidance of it right now, and decreasing the light may help that.
No, it
is a city byway.
That's true. And progressing up, make it look better would help. And you never know, somebody might come in one way with the roof over there. That's happening in other places. I'm just making that up or something like that. But I wouldn't look for a silver bullet in the town center.
At one time, you talked about maybe making like a park or something down there?
Well, the county certainly plans on turning those green spaces into kind of professional green spaces. And there is, you are allowed to put like park structures, you know, whole lines and things in the floodplain. And so that's possible, except that maybe the last thing that is needed right now is one more gathering places for bad activity. So cleaning up and having kind of a citizen-driven movement to do other cleanup along that route can be a significant change just by itself. But it will stay green for the foreseeable future.
So maybe getting the dilapidated buildings taken care of, getting the survey back from the people that are there, the people that own it, may give an idea where, which way forward.
Lots of people have ideas, but the first step is to make it feel safer walking through it, or riding through it just by getting rid of the light.
There's a good core of people, the Interstate Council and some others down there, who want to see things happen.
They're very anxious to move forward on this project.
There are relatively modest meetings, obviously, and they're looking for some help. And they'll certainly see removal of these structures, a huge step in the project.
I just want to see one scintilla, one millimeter of movement in Columbia. And this would be, there's been nothing for decades.
Well, it's been moving, it's all been in the wrong direction.
This is a
movement in the right direction. I was kind of hoping Fred Payne, LLC, put business in that.
Money bags will probably do that.
So on the screen is a survey that Planning Staff did last winter. They went out and looked at the different properties to see what's out there. And most of the properties undeveloped, that's the dark green color, or dilapidated properties in the black. The yellow, the fuchsia is basically where you have some existing uses or properties that are still in use. The fuchsia being churches, yellow being residential properties. But basically everything else is either undeveloped or vacant, dilapidated. Sorry, I went the wrong direction. So this is a thought that staff has about how to assign zoning to this area. Basically, along the Route 6 corridor, the fuchsia color that would represent business, BC zone, and then keeping the residential properties zoned residential up going towards the hill, and then along the railroad going towards the river, giving that agricultural zone sits into the flood zone. A map that shows how the floodplain overlays this. So this shows where the floodplain is. That's the dark area here that kind of follows these lines. So all of this is floodplain. And this shows how that overlays on top of the proposed zone.
So some of those proposed businesses are in the flood zone?
They're in the flood zone, yes.
So but you could use it for things like parking, things like that, without the cost.
Right.
But to build structures there, that's going to be pretty expensive. That
the store there, probably out of the question.
But, maybe we'll put parking.
What's the, so you have the darker purplish fuchsia, whatever color, and then pretty close to that, you've got a line. What does that line represent? Do I need to point that out? So you got this. This is the floodplain. I get that. What's this for?
I think that's the edge of the floodplain.
That's the edge. Okay.
Yes. Got it. It kind of goes to the middle of the angle.
And also, point out, this little part that comes up here, I think it kind of follows this road here, which is Stage Junction Road. And I think most of that is forestry properties do that little spot there.
That's a little bit, there's topographic seed problems there, so I'm okay with that.
So in other words, the river and Columbia Creek basically come together, and that's the reason some of that area is flooded.
One of the things we're talking about town is here because of its relationship to the river. And we think that in light of that relationship might be helping, maybe we put a river over there.
And Scottsdale's in the same situation.
Scottsdale used to be in that situation. It isn't anymore.
Right.
Because of the levels. Mm-hmm. But, there are several boat of rat and canoe rat and rivers around on the river. For some reason, Columbia couldn't do it too. It's just, you gotta have somebody say that you're doing it. But this zoning would probably permit that, or we could make it from
that. They actually do pretty good business with the reletting rat and so forth like that.
It's gonna depend on where it is, because I have to really look at it from this standpoint, but the character of the river is most people want to have at least a little bit of moving water. And the other thing is we don't have too long between takeouts. So that's why like Howardsville, the Patton or Howardsville, Warren, and Scottsville are good because they're only a couple hour float. I haven't looked to see what's downstream between or what's upstream.
But basically at the place at Scottsville, they have buses that take them up the river, then they come back and land there at the property that they own there.
Yeah, they typically, that's the way they typically operate. A lot of these things.
So that concludes what staff wants to present this evening. This is just preliminary thoughts and take direction on where we have to go from here.
I think we need a way to get the survey back and so forth like that to see what the people there are talking about as well as what we're talking about. And try to balance those ideas.
Let's we'll come back with, we'll get the survey out after we adjust it somewhat. Get you all the results as soon as we compile together. Have another discussion and try to get some folks.
Okay. That's the last item on our work session. I will adjourn the work session for now, and our regular session will reopen at 7 o'clock, which will be our regular scheduled week. Thank you. Next item is this election of the vice chairman. Do I have a motion for vice chairman?
Ed Zimmerman.
Okay, I have a motion for Ed Zimmerman for vice chair. Do I have a second?
Second.
Do I have any other nominations? Have a motion to end nominations?
Motion to close nominations.
Second. Okay. All in favor, Mr. Zimmer for vice chairman, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Mr. Zimmer, you're the vice chair.
Thank you.
The next item. Didn't sound so enthused. The next item is election of dates for the planning commission. And we have a calendar. We don't have a calendar up on the...
Mr. Chairman, the meetings will generally take place the second Tuesday, with the exception of February and March and November. And you'll notice that November, our meeting day falls on election day, so we should have moved the highlight on November 2 to 6, but the on the left column, we'll see if that even takes place on November 6th, which will
be Monday. But in fact, it's shown correctly for the market.
Right. Do we have anybody that has any discussion about the dates for the Planning Commission meetings for this coming year? If not, do we have a motion to accept these dates and make the app calendar for 2017?
Yeah, I mean, we accept the calendar as presented.
Okay, I have a motion to set the calendar as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, you have a second by Mr. Lagantino, a motion by Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. In the organizational meeting, we do have some other items that we have to be resolved by the Planning Commission that it does hereby designate certain courtroom in the Fluvanna Court as a meeting place for regular meetings to be held on the second Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. except for the month of February, March, will be the first Tuesday, and then with the change that we had. Do we need to have a separate motion about that, or did the motion that we just had?
Under the bylaws,
also have to adopt the bylaws and rules and procedures.
We have to adopt the resolution for the organization.
Okay. Can we bring that resolution up, and if somebody would like to make a motion about the accepting the resolution?
So far, it's 40-0 to Mr. Gaines. We have some Mr. Gaines just applied.
So we had the minute reflect that there was 4-0 with one absence up until this point.
I would make the motion that we accept the resolution as presented to the commission.
Okay, I have a motion from Mr. Zimmer to accept the resolution as written. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Johnson, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay. We have the adoption of the Planning Commission bylaws and rules of procedure. Do I have a motion to accept the bylaws and the rules and procedures?
Mr. Chairman, just so you understand, I think there's no change in your rules from last year, except with respect to the dates that you already dealt with.
With the fact that there is no changes to our bylaws and laws except for a date this year, do we want to accept this these bylaws and practices and procedures? Somebody want to make a motion to accept?
Sure, I'll make a motion to accept.
Okay, Mr. Gaines has made a motion that we accept the rules and procedures. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Lagantino, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a couple items reported. The Board of Supervisors approved on December 20th. Two items, ZNB 1602 for Van Heights rezoning, was approved 4-1. And SUP 1611, Garden Beavers. Landscaping material supply business was approved 5-0. Also, the Board of Zoning Bills on January 10th, 2017, through BZA 1603, setback variance for this cost share. That's all I have to report for this past month.
Okay, thank you. The next item is the first of two public comment sections for tonight. The public comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Public comments for this is for items other than the items that are up for public hearing. Those items, you will be able to make comments at that time. So anyone wishing to come forward on any other item other than the public hearing items, please come forward, state your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, I will end the first of two public comment sections for the night. Next, we will go to the minutes of the December 12, 2016 meeting. Do I have a motion about the minutes, or is there any changes or discussion about the minutes from the December 12th meeting? Okay, do I have a motion to accept the minutes?
I think that was indeed the three of us here.
The three of us were here.
I made the motion and be accepted.
Okay, Mr. Johnson makes a motion to accept the minutes. Mr. Lagantino votes, seconds the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Abstain.
Okay, we have a vote with three and with two abstaining that were not present. Okay, well, we have our first of public hearing tonight, which the first item is the capital improvement plan, the CIP for year 18 through 22. Mr. Robinson will be presenting that.
All right, good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission. You may recall back in the fall, we started a review of the capital improvement plan for fiscal year 2018 to 2022. So tonight is your public hearing for that plan. The proposed plan, a total of 62 projects were submitted by county departments. I'll note that those 62 projects includes the items that were part of the maintenance, repair, and replacement plan. The Planning Commission identified 27 of those requested projects as number one priority, so you'll see those on the following screen. The total of all the projects that were submitted is over $44 million, of which over $8 million is proposed for fiscal year 2018. So the proposed capital improvement projects that are identified as number one for fiscal year 2018 are as submitted by Parks and Recreation. All of these projects are the Pleasant Grove Park, an electronic message board, athletic field lighting, picnic shelter, and station. As submitted by Public Works, the Capital Reserve Maintenance Fund, building addition to public safety building addition, and then upgrades to the Treasurer's Building. For the Sheriff's Office, courthouse security electronic upgrades, it's their number one priority. E911 technology upgrades. Fire and Rescue has several projects identified as number one, including CPR assist devices and some data tablets, apparatus replacement for the Lake Monticello Fire and Rescue, self-contained breathing apparatus, thermal imaging, camera replacement, and then vehicle apparatus replacement. From the schools, the items are identified as number one under the Capital Reserve Maintenance Fund, the renovation of the Abrams Building, HVAC upgrade and renovation at Central Elementary, computer instructional technology and infrastructure replacement. Cleveland Middle School annexed the amazing floor, renovations to the school board office, and then underground fuel tank replacement. And then fleet replacement for county vehicles, school buses, vehicles for the sheriff's department, social services vehicles, and then student transport vehicles. So this concludes the staff's presentation. A sample motion is on the screen for reviews for taking action this evening.
Have a little discussion with the Planning Commission, and then we will open it up to the public for the public hearing. I don't know if they have had any comments. I do know that the majority of us had a situation where we thought that the technology stuff for the school should be actually in the school budget and not in the capital plan. One of the reasons for that is it violates the comprehensive plan the way it is. The capital improvement plan under the comprehensive plan, it says the CIP is a five-year plan that tries to anticipate all new or replaceable capital needs. The capital project is defined as a generally non-reoccurring asset, both tangible buildings, vehicles, land, and intangibles, software, easements, license, studies, services, and so forth. This exceeds an established dollar amount of $20,000, but I think that actually the Board of Supervisors for next year's change that to $50,000. Projects to be included in the annual budget are identified in the first year of the plan, and all other capital projects are planned for later years. So that was the reason that I think that it should be in the actual school budget, but not the thing. In the past, we have gone ahead and sent it to the Board of Supervisors with a note about this. One other thing that I wanted to suggest that we suggest that the Board of Supervisors take a look and make a study of the replacement of the administration building at the county, because we are having a hard time making up a thing because we don't really have enough information. So I think that we should suggest that the Board of Supervisors take it upon themselves to do a study to find out the cost effectiveness of replacing the building. Does anybody disagree with what I said? Do we need to have any other discussion? I know we've gone over this quite a few times. no more questions of the planning commission, we will open up the public hearing to the public. Anyone that wants to say anything about the CIP, please come forward and at this time. Seeing no one coming forward, is there any other discussion that we need to have with the planning commission? If not, do I have a motion?
I move that the planning commission recommend approval of the FY 2022 capital improvement plan as presented with the list of funding priorities prepared by the planning commission.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
May I have a motion by Mr. Gaines, a second by Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 5-0. Okay. The next item on the agenda tonight is DMP 1606, Wilson Ready Mix. Mr. Newman will be presenting.
Thank you. Good evening. It's a request to rezone from A1 Agricultural Limited to I2 Industrial General, 10.5 acres of tax map 4A109, located in the Palmyra Election District, as well as the Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area. The purpose of the rezoning is to allow for medium manufacturing use for a concrete factory, along with an ancillary retail use. The primary purpose of the site is for the production of concrete that will be an associated retail component to that as well. It's the location of the property in Van County. There's a crossroads. Nice location. This is the women's prison out there. Closer aerial view, women's prison, and this is the parcel in question. Currently, there's housing on site. This rezoning the parcel is A1 surrounded by I1 zoning in gray and A2 zoning with that black and gray stripe with business up here. It's mainly low density residential as well as some industrial commercial uses. A more in-depth sketch mail will be provided if it's approved, but for now, the production facility will be located in the southwest corner of the lot with retail here and then entrance exit to this location. This is the machinery that is used in the creation of concrete that they have, and it will be clad in sheet metal, so it will either look like this or be partially clad in sheet metal. And the color scheme that the applicant has proposed is going to blend in with that of the prison, so it has more of a mix in with the neighborhood. This is the color scheme that proposed. This is possibly what the retail facility could look like. Main use of this space is for concrete production. It will be office space for employees and retail designed for contractors, specifically focused on concrete work. This is not something that's designed for the general public in mind. It's not a Home Depot, not a Lowe's, specifically for concrete contractors. Retail hours are supposed to be 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Operating hours will be 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. with 10 to 12 employees on the site. The neighborhood meeting was held on December 14th. Two attendees to this issue and their concerns over pollution, traffic and site access, and the other uses that I2 zoning allows. As regards to pollution, the applicant states that there will be filters for dust suppression, as well as wastewater runoff, treatment, and removal of solids. The applicant must comply with all State Department of Environmental Quality regulations. They don't think that noise or odor will be an issue. In conclusion, this is located within our community planning area. The surrounding properties are residential, industrial, commercial, as well as the state prison. The applicant stated that the facility does not produce much noise or odor, with care taken to dispose of waste and deal with pollution stipulated by state regulations. No properties or conditions associated with this rezoning. Rezoning is approved, a final site level plan will be required. The motion for permission and the applicant and staff will be answering questions you may have.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Newman?
So the existing use is multiple houses.
Currently it's residential. The property owner is here as well.
So all of this obviously would be incompatible with that.
The question with regard to either partial or full enclosure, where does that discussion stand and why would that be full enclosure?
Would one of those, did I read this or did I dream this? houses on that now, maybe use an office or something.
Potentially.
Potentially, okay.
So the question was, why do you have to do full enclosure?
We're still in sort of a design phase for which plant we may actually use and how we would choose to enclose it. And that's why I provided two pictures, one of our Charleston facility, one of our Fishersville facility, showing that there's a number of ways to enclose the concrete plant.
Is there a significant cost increase to full enclosure?
I guess there's a significant cost increase to any additional construction. We just haven't decided the height based on bins and type of equipment, how it would be enclosed. So there would be a cost increase, whether it be significant or not. I can't even answer that question.
Mr. Stewart, would that be something to come up in site plan? Or something that we should know at this time?
You will come up with site plan. A lot of this depends on the applicants, how the site is developable according to our ordinances, what they ask for stormwater, what they ask to actually construct, so us, but also on their preferences and what their plan is.
I would think, regardless of when they close the full loop or partial, they have to be all the dust. Noise and all those regulations, so that's not a, those will impact the management of the
model. Regardless.
How much of a change on noise does the enclosure have?
Well, the enclosure has several benefits, particularly in light, noise, and dust. It gives us the ability to service the plant at other times without interruption. So we recognize the benefits of that kind of enclosure. Also allows us to incorporate our dust collection equipment, which is required by DEQ.
Is there any reason you haven't decided to have full enclosure or partial enclosure?
None other than what I said before. We're attempting to see which equipment we'll use and how it fit within the site plan. Elevations, once they're determined, will have a lot to do with the type of enclosure.
Would your expectation be that you wouldn't have full enclosure, or not? Your expectation would be partial?
We anticipate it to be clad in some combination, if not completely.
Sure, I don't want to give the expression of opinion because I'm not. But remember, this is a simple rezoning.
Sure.
So whatever the action represents to you, I'm sure is candid and accurate, but an IQ zone permits IQ use. So site plan can control certain things, it doesn't control things like paint colors, things like that, controls setbacks, yard requirements, that sort of thing.
But they have stipulated the colors and so forth.
Well, they've said they told you what they plan to do, and I'm sure they're being candid and accurate, but 5 years from now, the company's sold or different use comes in or whatever, these representations are not final.
Any other questions for the applicant?
I have a question, but I guess it might be more appropriate for the property owner. This might be more my curiosity than anything, but I know one of the documents you've been provided is actually addressed to the county of Louisa. Is some of this parcel or adjacent property in Louisa, is there a rezoning process associated with that also?
No, I don't think any of it.
Okay, I just one of these documents is addressed to the county of Louisa,
no,
as opposed to the county through banks. So I'm just
all hearing that.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any credits coming back for water on this or not?
Okay, if there's no more questions for the applicant, we will open the public hearing. hearing at this time. Anyone wanting to come forward to address the planning commission about this can come forward. You will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one come forward, we will end the public hearing at this time and have discussion by the planning commission. It is going to be an I-2. They're coming here to actually for this particular business on this site at this time. It could be used at other places at different times, but because of the fact that this particular business would be required to be I-2. I have a motion from Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Lagantino. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is DMP 1607, Foster Fuels. Ray Robinson, who is the city planner, will be presenting this.
Okay, so this, good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This is a request for rezoning as well as a special use permit. Identified as applications DMP 1607 and SUP 1612. This request, these requests involve tax map 523A, which is 1.53 acres in size. They were requested to rezone this parcel from I-1 Industrial Limited to I-2 Industrial General. Then they are also requesting a special use permit to establish a petroleum distribution facility, which is defined in the ordinance as a facility for the storage and distribution of fuels or other volatile products. The special use permit would permit for the installation of one 30,000 gallon fuel tank on the property. And as you'll see in the applicant sketch, they are proposed the possibility of one additional tank in the future. We'll note that this project is in the Columbia Election District as well as the Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area. So this is a map to show the location of the project within the county. You see it's basically the almost the most northern point here near the intersection of 250 and 15. Here's the location of the project here in the county. And then this is a map showing the zoning, the existing zoning of the property, which is I-1, that's the light gray color you see down the screen. And to get your orientation here, excuse me. This is industrial way here, which is within the Zion Crossroads Industrial Business Park. And then Troy Road runs here on this side of the property. You can see across Ford Road on this side, there's a one zoning there with some residential uses. And then this is an aerial photograph of the property. If you look at this photograph, you'll see there's a business here to the right-hand side. I will note that this parcel and this parcel, the subject parcel, both owned by the same property owner. So this business here, you can see it kind of spills over onto the subject property, and that will remain in place after this request gets approved.
What's that business?
It's a countertop business. I believe it's called something like Blue Ocean Countertops or something like that. They are going to maintain ownership of the property. The applicant will just be leasing the spot from the owner.
Any other business next to it?
Over here, I believe that's some kind of asphalt mixing business.
They're going to
blue line is proposed mix line.
No, that's the, just the property line.
It's the property.
Is that a separate parcel?
There are two separate parcels. Yes.
This is a 1.53 acre parcel, but they're going to be using the same entrance, and both pieces of property is owned by the same owner, but we're only rezoning the 1.53 acres.
Yes, that's correct.
So, it would appear that these two parcels, these are two parcels, that is a setback problem with that building? Is this conforming now, or are we creating a problem? The building looks very, obviously, at scale completely, it's very close. I'm just asking. I don't want to cause any sort of problem.
Which building you're talking about?
221. I mean, the one right here.
Yeah. I have no idea. I don't make sense. It just seems right. So that's what I'm asking.
Now, the propane tanks are going to be back to the back part of that property, right?
The propane tanks, as you'll see.
At number five?
They're going to be going over here.
Okay.
Inside your
department. I didn't think
there
was
one.
Okay, so yeah, just go on to your point.
Oh, I'm just asking a question, make sure. Man, I found something that's a mess, but still just a dumb hole.
The setback required in I-1, but that's only from, agricultural, residential, commercial.
So no industrial.
It's industrial, it's more sense industrial.
And the plan is to have one tank with a possibility, a 30,000 gallon propane tank with the possibility of later on, if the business requires, adding a second. And basically the business will be, the delivery trucks will come up, fill up there, and then go out and distribute propane to people in the camp.
That's correct, that's correct.
Would you go ahead and?
Yes, so on this arrow, I'll show you also on the bottom of the screen. Within this arrow here, they're going on this, in this area of the property.
So that's screening, the trees are screening for the name?
Yes. And I'll get the applicant to confirm that. I believe everything is virtually going to stay the same. They're just going to add some fencing around the tanks. They're not proposing to build the building, so I'll remove the trees. So this is the applicant side plan, which shows a little more detail of where they're going on the site. You see, you'll pull in here from Industrial Way. This is the entrance that they'll share with the existing business owner to the right. And when you pull in here, the tanks will be located over to the left in the field.
Mr. Kane, if you could get page 225 in your package, right there, it shows that green line.
Yes.
And it shows back in the actual core area where the tanks are going to go.
The green line is the proposed fence line. That's what they're going to be closing in. There's already a fence here, it's just in the area.
And they will be 50 feet, the tank will be 50 feet off the property line, right?
Yes. So this is some photographs of the site, give you a better view. This is looking into the property from Industrial Way. That's the business, the countertop business we were talking about earlier. That's the entrance. You'll see the picture that we shared with that business. And then when you pull to the driveway and you look to the left, this is the field where the tanks will be going. And then this is just a photograph to show kind of what's adjacent within the business park itself. To get your orientation on the left-hand side, you can't see it in the picture, but on the left-hand side is Red Rocker Candy, which you may be familiar with.
Yeah, I noticed there's going to be a, like it was a 16-foot gate or something that pulls a whole parcel where this these tanks are be fenced in because it only shows the green fence line across the front.
Well, so the green fence line is kind of following most of this side property on here. So this is already fenced, and then this fence will extend from when you pull in to the left hand side, it'll extend straight down.
So, in other words, part of it's already fenced in, but they're just adding fencing across with the 16-foot gate. Does that mean that the fence is going to be 16 feet also? Or?
In height?
Yes. I see the gate's going to be 16 foot. Or is that 16 foot wide?
I'm going to get the applicant to clarify that.
That's probably 16 foot wide.
Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
And the other three sides are already fenced. So the fence, the green line that you're referring to, complete fence around the property. Fence would be the same height as the fence is there now, which appears to be 6 or 7 feet.
Anybody have any more questions for Mr. Robinson? If not, would the applicant like to come forward and?
I had some additional slides.
Oh, okay, sorry, I apologize.
So just to go over quickly the analysis of this, as mentioned earlier, it's in the Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area, which is identified in the comprehensive plan as a primary infrastructure service area. And as we've discussed, the special use request is for two tanks. If they wanted to add additional tanks in the future, they would have to come back for another special use permit.
That's just FYI. As far as anticipated traffic to the property as a result of this request, they have anticipated there will be one delivery truck per day during the warm months and possibly two trucks per day during winter months. So if these requests are approved, then they will need to file a site plan for review with the planning department. So to conclude, this use is considered low intensity. It's just the storage of fuel on the property. No buildings or construction will be required for this project. And the applicant will have to comply with standards for fuel storage. The applicant has indicated there will be little noise or smell on the property. Approval of this special use permit is contingent upon the property being rezoned to I-2. If the property is not rezoned, then the special use permit cannot be approved. As far as we can tell, the applications appear to meet all county code requirements. So the Planning Commission should consider how these requests deal or do not align with the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan. So on the screen, I have two sample motions for the use. Just to clarify, these are two separate public hearings since it's two separate applications. This is the motion for the rezoning application on the screen. And then this is the motion for the special use permit. And that concludes staff presentation.
Would the applicant like to come forward and say anything? Sorry, I jumped over top of you there.
Thank you, Greg. Good afternoon, Jim. Tim Spicer, off the computers.
So the only possibility would be 230,000. Yes. That is the maximum that you could do, and that's part of the application.
One clarification, if it's possible, I was under the impression that we could request the approval of the two tanks without having to get a second permit for the second tank. So if that's a consideration.
I think that's part of the
application.
That's part of the application.
Do that require a separate use permit?
No, it's all part of the special use permit.
So to put the first tank in, they're going to have a site development plan.
Yes.
They have to have another site development plan.
Or for any addition, you would have to have it. You would have to amend the original site development plan.
There would be another action, but not a series.
So you wouldn't have to go. You wouldn't have to go back to the board. The board up here.
We already serve a growing number of customers in the county, Department of Corrections, VDOT, fire departments. We need an extra tank and we want to be good in the county. That's why we're not. But it's not a retail shop. It's a site
Yeah, there was another site that did not get approved.
There's another site.
Across the street.
You don't want to do this.
As I remember, it wasn't related.
Was it?
Substantially or completely not related to foster fumes. I don't think anybody had a concern with foster fumes, I certainly.
I did not.
They were other issues.
We'd rather not go into that. Does anybody else have any questions for the applicant? If not, thank you.
Thank you.
We will open the public hearing for this project at this time. Can I?
Two public hearings, one for rezoning and one for discussions.
Can I would get ready to ask to Mr. Payne, can I combine the public hearings for the two items?
It would be better if you did them separately.
Okay. So I will be opening the public hearing for ZMP 1607 at this time. Anyone wanting to come forward and speak about this, please come forward. Seeing no one coming forward, I will end the public hearing on ZMP 1607. I will open the public hearing of SUP Fossil Fuels at this time. Anyone coming wanting to come forward and talk about special use permit number 1612, Fossil Fuel, please come forward, state your name and address. You will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, I will end the public hearing on SUP 1612 at this time and turn it over to the Planning Commission for discussion.
I was just going to say, from a procedural standpoint, you can combine two public hearings for that.
Technically, you can just have two public hearings.
Well, but if we didn't follow the procedure and take the vote out, that would not be public. You don't have to do that.
You really don't have to do that as long as it's clear that you have a public hearing on one, then a public hearing on the other, and then an action on the first one and an action on the second. You're right, it would be more regular to have the public hearing and have a vote, and then the other public hearing and a vote. But under these circumstances, this is a rational process because these two projects are supposed
to be. I just want to make sure
applications are related.
The
I'm saying legal.
The use of a special use permit isn't permitted in current zoning. That's why they have rezoning. So rezoning really should come first.
Okay, do we have any other further discussion about these two items? The zoning question is the first item that we need to have a vote on. Do I have a motion on ZMP 1607?
I do have one comment that I'd like to make if you want to discuss it prior to the vote, which is, you know, as we look at growth and design structures, I think it's important we start to look at the impact that the growth can have in terms of counties, where county governments, and this is fairly close to the core area of the resilience process can expand. It's a very low use of that property. And while not necessarily against this, as one mentioned, this is the type of thing that, you know, as the county is investing $20 million essentially in its water plant, we really got to start concentrating on, you know, maximizing the approvals that we're making in that area for these kinds of uses. I mean, I would think we could have tanks like this further away from the size of Crossroads area to meet those types of needs from that standpoint. So I'm just making that comment. I'm not an objection to this particular one, but, you know, we're going to see more and more activity. We're going to ask the Planning Commission to consider some of those points there going forward.
I don't know, some of that I'm not sure that would not violate the law, what you're saying, because we can say that they can't have something now because something might be in the future.
Well, I understand that we can't prevent them from doing that. I'm just saying that from the perspective of as we have the application, people would say yes or no to the zoning change.
You know, it wouldn't be improper to consider the economic, potentially economic impact on the
In this particular case, it's more of an infill.
Theoretically, that portion of land is going to be
very acres and sitting right in the middle.
But I would argue that the market will take care of that. these folks are leasing it. If somebody can come in.
No, and that's why I said I don't have any.
Pay much more, much higher rent or buy that property, I think they're going to.
No, no, I'm not.
Find these folks in other places.
Right, I'm not objecting to that. For example, the 60-acre solar farm right in the heart of it was something that I think was, at the end of the day, that's a. So I just, I'm mentioning that concern from my perspective, being on the board, that you are making significant investments in the area as we have the applications to come up with. Let's think about what the economic impact is. Although that these, this business could be supplying propane to some of these businesses that we're there. Okay, do I have a motion for ZMP 1607?
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of ZMP 1607, request to amend the Nevada County zoning map with respect to approximately 1.53 acres of tax map 5, section 23, parcel 8, to rezone the same from I-1 industrial limited to I-2 industrial general.
Okay, I have a motion from Mr. Gaines. Do I have a second for ZMP 1607?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay. The next item is SUP 1612. Do we have a motion on SUP 1612?
I would move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1612, a request to allow for a petroleum distribution facility with respect to 1.5 acres by section 23, parcel 8, subject to the conditions listed in staff report.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Johnson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
There's no presentation tonight, but we do have a site development plan, SDP 1618, Nahor Village Dental Office.
Yes, this is a request for sketch plan approval for a dental office with respect to 3.25 acres of tax map 17, A1 parcel E. The office to be 26.7 feet by 81.7 feet and diameter approximately 2,150 square feet. It's going to be a one-story building. Marshall is currently zoned R3 residential planned community. Adjacent properties are zoned A1, B1, and R3. This is the use allowed by right as a medical clinic. Location property here in Nahor Village, just to the southwest of Lake Monticello. It's the property in question. This is Nahor Village proper with all housing, and this is the location of the proposed use. Currently, there's a house on the site which is vacant. This building will be torn down, and the new dentist's office is to be built perpendicular to its current location. This is zoning map, again, showing that it's an R3, surrounded by R3, and one zone. This is the sketch plan that the applicant has submitted. This is the building itself. This is Thomas Jefferson Highway. There'd be entrance in from Thomas Jefferson Highway to parking. This is Crepe Myrtle Drive. And at 3:30 today, we received comments from VDOT after several contacts by staff in person over the phone and email that VDOT does not want them to have an access road from Crepe Myrtle Drive because people could use that as a shortcut to the freeway to Thomas Jefferson. Other than that, the VDOT comments don't affect the location of the building itself. They don't affect parking, just that entrance from Craig Marble Drive. This use is compatible with the Arvana County Plan Area Goals as a final comprehensive plan. The second line no longer applies as of 2:30. Parking areas of landscaping and screening have been included in the site plan. There's 10 parking spots proposed, along with 2 for handicaps, which is required by code. They've included dark skylighting as required by our code. The project is to be served by Aqua Virginia for water and sewer. This is the comments that we received. This is the most pertinent one. Remove the proposed entrance connection to Craig Drive, as this may
generate cut-through traffic. And then we have a copy of that, and we have a copy in front of y'all as well. In conclusion, this is a sketch plan for a dental office, 4 to 5 employees maximum. I think 3 is more lightweight. Appears to meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance. A final site plan that complies with all aspects of the zoning ordinance must be submitted for final review and approval from all agencies, including VDOT. The staff recommends approval of site development plan 16 and 18, subject to the three conditions listed in the staff report. Again, one of which is that it must meet all VDOT requirements. Suggested motion of the applicant is here as well.
So they would have to meet all 7 items that VDOT.
Yes, most of those are technical for the sketch plan itself. The major one is that.
Because let's see where they have to do an interest analysis and so forth like that. Yes, sir. Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Newman? If not, would the applicant like to say anything at this time?
If you have comments or questions, I'm here.
Does anybody have any questions?
For the record, that's Keith Lancaster.
Oh, sorry. Keith Lancaster, Southern Development. I apologize. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, would you allow a question from a citizen at this point? And then we'll pass that comment section.
You?
As a citizen.
That's up to the commission. Mr. Nichols is asking, is the commission capacity different? You have to have the past, you're not
I don't see any problem with that. You know, of course, we don't have a public hearing for site plan, but I don't have any problem with that. Does anybody have any objection to Mr. Nichols making a comment as a citizen?
So, Steve Nichols, 135 Tulip Drive. I live in Nehoa Manor, and I guess I'm under the mistaken impression that existing houses there was owned by the soon-to-be HOA, and I didn't realize that it was Southern Development property. Maybe it changed, or maybe it changed hands with the bank. I was just interested about the status of that specific property, because last time we had a meeting with the bank and the owners of the property, I thought that was community-owned. So I'd like to know the status.
Does the applicant have any idea whether that house was actually owned by the homeowners association?
It's owned by the bank. Sorry, we're just the applicant as a representative client. The bank owns the property.
That's
we do not own the property.
That's shown as attachment A.
Correct. Yeah. So our involvement has been you build homes, obviously, in there. And obviously the bank's not a developer, so we are that as well. So we've been helping them through the process with street dedication, as-builts regarding facilities, utilities, and getting those through the system.
The office was contemplated as part of the original.
That's right. That was the one portion that was part of our R3. So, yeah, so we're just here representing.
And United Bank had gave y'all permission to?
Yes, sir. There's been
yeah.
So we've been kind of working with them with VDOT, and we've got partial top coat paving in the system now. We're doing some stormwater management as-built plans for them as well to kind of work through bonds and stuff. So.
And this is obviously a right use for the property in R3. It's committed to R3 and it's contemplated.
Do we have any other questions, any other discussion about this? If not, do I have a motion?
I move to approve SCP 1618 request for sketch plan approval for general office with respect to 3.25 acres of Tax Act 17, Section A1, Parcel E, subject to conditions listed in the staff report.
Okay, I have a motion brought Mr. Longacino. Do I have a second?
Yes, sir, you do.
I have a second by Mr. Gaines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you. I don't think we have any other items on the agenda tonight, and if there's no objections from the...
Just one more thing, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman. Our regular scheduled meeting with the planning commissioners, but we scheduled it in 2 weeks. You did not receive any applications for public hearings. So
we will not have a meeting on February 7th.
Canceling that meeting, we'll be meeting on March 7th.
Anybody at all in favor of canceling the February 7th meeting? We have no application.
It's okay to miss them. You just can't come and want a recap. It's like coming halfway through the movie.
If there's any no other discussion or any other items on the agenda, we will adjourn it. That's right. Y'all got me confused today. This is time for the second public comment section for the night, and anyone wishing to come forward, state your name and address, and you will be limited to 3 minutes. See no one coming forward, we will end the second public comment section for the night, and we will adjourn. It was on the other side of town.